Welcome to the second episode of Backstage, the Bachata podcast, where we get to know artists in a different light. Our guest today is Steffi from the Netherlands. She is the co-founder and co-owner of Bachata Passion, a dance academy with 550 students and 22 teachers across four different cities, which makes them by far the biggest bachata dance academy in the Netherlands.
Today's topics are the cultural differences between Spain and the Netherlands and what that means for a dance school. We also talked about their unique style and strong branding and the challenges of growing a dance school to such a size. So without further ado, here is Steffi.
Okay, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you. How are things going for you?
Thank you so much for having me on. Things are good. We're keeping busy and we're doing good over here.
Awesome. So for the people listening in that have never heard about your dance school before, can you tell us a bit more about Bachata Passion?
So we started Bachata Passion in 2012. We started it just with a couple shows, so Jeno and me performing and teaching bachata. And we built it to a dance school or a dance academy, as we usually call it, here in the Netherlands with four different locations. And usually on the weekends, at least before the COVID situation, we travel abroad to festivals to teach and perform. But our main business is the dance school here with multiple locations and a big teacher's team.
Awesome. That's great to hear. Yeah, I saw you've been making, or let's say teaching, a whole big group of teachers for the bachata scene. And you guys have grown extremely fast in a really short period of time over the Netherlands. Basically dominating the bachata scene here. How did you go about that?
I think the domination part became more because there wasn't a lot of people doing it when we started. When we started, it was mostly salsa. We also come from salsa. But I saw a lot of bachata outside of the Netherlands when we would travel with our salsa team. And I thought, okay, I don't know what this is, but I want to learn this. So we were the first to introduce bachata sensual here in the Netherlands. And it kind of took off from there. So it was never a plan to take over the Netherlands and do it in that way. But we just noticed that there was nobody doing it. And when we started to teach, we quickly realized that we needed a bigger team. And we had a lot of our show dancers that were in our show teams already for a while that were getting really good and that were interested in, you know, like a next challenge and learning how to teach. So we started our own internal Bachata Passion Teachers Program, where we train them and we have weekly meetings, and they go through a whole course of learning how to teach, learning how to deal with groups, but mostly also learning, of course, the techniques and how we teach bachata. And then when they pass that course, they're official Bachata Passion teachers. And by now we have more than, like, we have 22 active BP teachers, and we have some more in training. So I think that's basically how we grew, just by getting the brand out there and having some really good people that were motivated enough to take on the challenge of also becoming teachers.
Yeah, that's really great. Nice. I was wondering, every time I go to socials, I can actually tell most of the times if I'm dancing with someone who's been learning at Bachata Passion, because you guys do have a specific style, I would say. In the way and the technique that you teach. So I find it interesting at socials where you can kind of tell where the person is dancing. I was wondering, with the technique, you guys do focus a lot on it and you have a really strong base for it. And you dance under Corke and Judith, so in Bachata Sensual. But there's a lot of Dominican as well. Like, your pro team has a lot of Dominican shows.
Yeah. Yeah, so we always say we have a passion for all bachata. And when we started, we were more used to more of the Dominican style because that's what was way bigger here in the Netherlands and I think still is, because of the big number of dancers coming from the Caribbean, from Curaçao, Bonaire, Aruba. not specifically from the Dominican Republic, but from the Caribbean, so more the Caribbean flow and Caribbean style, as do most of the guys on our team. So that's basically where the more of the background comes from. But it was especially the style from Cork and Judith. When I saw that abroad, I was like, okay, I don't know what they're doing and I don't know how they do it, but I want to learn how to dance like that. So we contacted Cork and Judith a lot, and we were part of their first teacher's training. Part of the first batch of official Cork and Judith teachers. And we've stuck to their style and their technique, because I feel the most important thing for us is that when you dance, you can, or what you're dancing, you can literally lead and dance with everyone. But when we went back to the Netherlands, we noticed that in a lot of things, the Netherlands was just not ready to adapt that complete bachata sensual style immediately, because there was none of it. So it, to put people that close together and with that technique, like, we had to kind of make it available and it's something that would be accepted here and that would be accessible for people. So we were really strict on technique from day one, because the negative feedback that we got a lot from other dancers was like, oh, you cannot dance like that. It's too sexual. It wasn't accepted here. So we said, okay, like, if we're going to introduce this style here in the Netherlands, then the one thing I will never want to hear is that it's something you cannot dance with everyone, and that it's something you can only dance with a fixed partner, or that it's a choreography. So we were super strict with our first group of students on, look, this is how you can lead it with everyone. And this is how you can lead it so that it doesn't hurt, or that it doesn't, you know, like, it's not forced. It's all using technique and movement and momentum. And that kind of stuck with us. So I think that's been the main focus of our brand and of Bachata Passion, is that we're so strict on technique that our dancers know, like, okay, it works. So yeah, either you stick with us and you believe in the purpose, or you go your own way. And I think that's why you can still find our dancers really quick, because they're so strict on what we've been like telling them and teaching them in every single class about frame, about posture, and about like no force. But the combination of styles, we're getting that more and more in the classes as well. Like, we're teaching a lot of Dominican classes as well. We teach a lot of combination classes, which we call BP style, where it's like sensual techniques, but it's with footworks and it's with more combinations of turns and everything. Just to make sure that all our students become all-rounded, like, bachata dancers and not just one style.
All right. So you said that when you started that the Netherlands was not ready yet for this kind of style. How do you see that now, a couple of years later? Do you think that's still the case, or has it changed?
I think it's changed, yes. I think it's more open to it, but it also, because you see it more, there's also, of course, a lot more people against it, because people have their opinion and you either like it or you don't. So I don't think it's more accepted now. I just think there's a bigger group of people dancing it, but there's also a bigger group of people against it. So I think you'll always find that. I mean, you still find that in all over the world, right? You have the two divisions. But what we then want to make sure is that at least they can't say anything about the technique or about it, you know, like it not being something you can actually lead and follow. And as long as they don't have anything to say about that, then I'm good. But for it being accepted, I think you'll always have that people either love or hate the style, and you'll have people against it everywhere, unfortunately.
For sure. I mean, I think you can see this also in the different other dance styles. So in salsa, you have this in kizomba, in zouk. Everywhere where it sort of branches out into different types of the same kind of dance, there's always going to be some discussion.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I find it very interesting where your style comes from, like from the strong focus on technique. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering that now bachata is a bit more established in the Netherlands, but also your BP style is probably so ingrained in your DNA. Are you going to stick to that, or are you going to try to dance more like the way they dance in Cadiz in Spain, for example?
No, not really. I think what we've proven is that if we stay close to how we dance and stay close to what we believe in, that's the best you can do. Not because it's a better style, but because it fits us, right? And I can not sell somebody else's product if I don't believe in it completely. And I think that there's a perfect combination of everything. So that's why we have different classes. So if there's people that really only want to do sensual, then we have classes that focus specifically on bachata sensual, and they take more of the figures and the combinations that you would see in Cadiz, like you said, or you would see around Spain. And then we have the other classes so that we can provide anything to the students. But to really switch our own style, no, not really. Because I think that over the years, we've managed to prove for ourselves and to other people and organizers that at festivals, like we're the most versatile and a lot like one of the few companies that can actually dance with all the styles. So you'll put a Dominican song on, we'll manage really well. You'll put a sensual song on, we'll manage really well. And we're not like the main artist in either style, but at least we're managed to stay on top in all styles. And I think that's kind of our strength. I think we'll stick to that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And also what Lucy said previously, like if she goes to a social, she can really recognize who is dancing at BP and who is not. And that's such a big part of your branding as well, right? Which brings me a bit to the next topic, which is, how did that happen? Like, I've never seen a dance school with such a strong branding as yours. For example, the blue, your color blue is everywhere. If we go to your studio, there are t-shirts, mugs, everything basically is branded in BP. So how did that happen? Like, who is responsible for that? Did someone of you had a background in branding or marketing, or did you, learn on the job, or how did you go about that?
I think it's a combination. We both don't have a background in marketing or in branding. We worked a lot with WEPA. So we've learned a lot from them about branding and about marketing, and especially about online marketing. But I also think it's something Jenna and I just both really have. Like, we're both, we don't like change too much. That sounds silly, but like, say for instance, you have people that go out for dinner every weekend and they'd like to try different restaurants. Like, we literally, we've been together for 10 years now, and if we have something to celebrate, we still go to the very same restaurant. And I think that's kind of also not even with a plan, but it's kind of how our brand grew so strong. Like, we just knew what we wanted, and we haven't switched our focus since day one. So blue was always my favorite color. Bachata fashion became blue, and we haven't looked back. Like, it's not like we woke up one day and said, oh, but green is also nice. But no, it's blue, end of story, right? So we just don't switch too much. Like, we really believe in consistency in everything. So consistency in your teaching method, consistency in your, like, your focus, consistency in showing up every day, but also like, that really helped. And now we do it a lot more conscious, but I think in the beginning it just grew that way because that's just how we are, and it's just how we go about with anything, kind of. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it definitely does. And honestly, I was wondering, as a couple, you have a business together, right? And you are together in the private life and the business life. How do you divide the two so that if you perhaps have a small disagreement in the business part, that it doesn't affect your private relationship?
Well, like I said, we've been together 10 years, so I think we've learned how to do that in, for us, at least it works for us. We have an office, we have our dance school, and as soon as we leave here, like we leave our laptops here, we leave everything here. Like when we're here, we work. And when we work, then there's discussions and there's, you know, like we might disagree on certain things, but we have one common goal and it's work. And the moment we close our laptops and the moments we go home, then we're just Jenna and Steffi and we're home and we're together. But I think that's the biggest difference, is that not to take the things from your business into your private discussions or private things, to really keep that separate. And for us, it works to have two different locations. So Bachata Passion is not in our home. It's like literally only at the dance school and only in the office.
Okay, so you physically separate the two.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming from what I've heard so far, you both have the same mindset and the same kind of flow of thought and direction, which probably helps quite a bit when branding and working on Bachata Passion.
Yes, I think we have the biggest discussions when we're creating choreos or when we're training together. Like those are the times that we discuss or that we like get into arguments. But for the rest, like luckily so far, we've been really like-minded and with one purpose in mind. So.
And as you're growing, or as your school is growing, and you know, in different cities as well now over the Netherlands, different teachers, how do you see it continuing by sticking towards the same style, the distinctive style that you have? Because you do have so many teachers, and of course they have their base with you as BP teachers, but every individual might have a bit of their own style to it. Do they bring that in? How do you guys incorporate that? And because it's getting bigger, so you know, the bigger the scale, the less control kind of over everything.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things we've talked and thought about a lot. But we really want our people to have their own style as well, because that's like, in the end, Bachata Passion stands for that passion we have for bachata. And the main objective is to make it an accessible dance that you can dance and lead and follow with everyone. But whether like which style or what figures or what things you use to do that or to express yourself is not something we want to have any say in. So we luckily have a very diverse group of teachers that all stick to the same technique, and they know where it comes from and they know why we choose certain things, but that have their own inspirations and that have their own like way of dancing. So we really try to keep that as well, which is why, of course, now that we're talking during COVID-19, at this moment we don't have weekly trainings, but normally we have every Monday night there's no Bachata Passion classes anywhere. Like as a student, you cannot follow classes on Monday night after 9 o'clock, because that's the moment we get together with all our teachers. So we still make sure that we train together so that everyone keeps dancing together, keeps growing together, and that we can discuss the things that we find in the classes and questions people have, but mostly also make sure that everyone can give a little bit of their own style. So Dylan and Joy might say, oh, look, we have this figure. What do you think of this? And we'll work at it together. And the other way around, we prepare something so that we stick as one team with like the same technique, but that everyone has their own input and their own like ideas they can put on the table.
I think growing is a very interesting topic, and I had one question there for you. So the way I got to know you is that you're a very dedicated person and you have a very strong vision and sense of where you want Bachata Passion to go. But at the same time, as you're growing, you have to give up control, right? It's literally impossible to control every aspect anymore when you grow to such a size as you have. So how did you go about that?
Oh, that's something I'm still learning every single day, because I think that's my biggest downfall. Like I am not just a perfectionist. I can literally say I'm a control freak. And everyone that dances and works here knows that. So luckily they know that part of me. but it's also something I've learned step by step to do, thanks to, and I have to name one in particular that you both know as well, like Demi danced with us already, and she started her internship here at the office, and she's now officially working with us here at the office. And I've learned that it's sometimes really difficult for me to give somebody tasks and to say, okay, you do this, you do that, not just because I don't think they'll do it correctly, but also because I don't want to burden them with like the hassle and the stupid tasks. But Demi really knows me, so she's managed to like teach me a little bit of how I can let go of certain things and how it's good to sometimes delegate certain parts so that she can take care of like full aspects of the business without me having to check and without me having to do it every time. But I think that's literally the hardest thing for me still on a daily basis, is like letting go step by step and just letting others do it.
I can imagine, but at the same time, with the rate and the speed at which BP is growing, I think it would be absolutely impossible for you to just manage, even as much as you'd try, you know, to have to check everything.
I know. I try, but it doesn't work anymore. No.
This gives you a little bit of space to breathe, which is also important.
Yes. Yes. Although I think that was last year. It was like the weirdest thing. One of my classes was canceled because of the location. So I was off for a full day while other people were working, and now for us. And now you would say normally like, oh my God, that's the goal, right? That's the dream of having a business, is that you have people doing the work and that you're like enjoying a free night off. Well, I could not relax on the couch. Like literally, I was just sitting there and thinking, okay, so they're teaching now. I'm doing here nothing, like sitting here watching TV. So that's really not something that fits me well. So I like being busy. I like staying busy and working hard.
And working in a business as BP full time, you know, there's a lot of work around it. You guys are continuing to grow. Do you still also, can you make the division between bachata dancing for work and for fun to actually really enjoy the dancing itself without all the rest around it?
I have my moments that like some events and some weekends like literally feel like a weekend off, even though we might be teaching, even though we might be performing, like they literally feel like I can let go and just enjoy. And then some other weekends really feel like work, which is okay. Like it's not a bad thing, but then it just feels more work related, even though it's also the same type of dancing. So I think it really matters on the day and on the moment that I personally am in. It doesn't even have to do with the event usually. But if I can let go of certain things and like really enjoy the dancing, it really depends. Like before a show, almost never. Because then I just want the show to go well and I want to focus and make sure that I'm ready for that. But usually after the show, when we go and dance and enjoy the evening, then I really love social dancing. But funny enough, I usually love the dances where it's just nothing too much and it's just not too forced. So I'm like just enjoying a dance. So not with the big artist or not with anyone that really wants to impress with specific figures, but just, you know, connecting on the dance floor and enjoying the music. But then again, at my own parties where I have the best audience to dance with, because I like they're all people I know and would love to dance with. And then I usually find it difficult, and you'll probably find me behind the bar making sure that everything is going well.
Probably because it's also your event, so you feel like, you know, there is a lot of responsibility there. So I can understand it might be tough in those situations to, you know, keep everything under control, but at the same time, be able to fully relax is kind of difficult and kind of contradictory.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah, but as long as you find a good balance between the two.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, like, for me, I don't mind that sometimes it feels like work, because I'm lucky enough that this can be my job, right? So for me, the fact that it sometimes feels like work doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. It means that I'm even more grateful that this, like, if this can feel like work, if dancing can feel like work, then how lucky am I, right?
Yeah, you do seem to be very happy where, you know, where you took BP in all those years. Is there anything you would have done differently? Like, if you could go back in time and change something?
Yes and no. I think we are here because we made a lot of mistakes and because we learned by falling. So I don't know if I would go back and change it, but there's a lot of things I learned from. Like, I know that, like, we learned a lot from competing and from joining competition because it pushed us to another level. But I also know that it's not for us. It's not where our strengths lie. It's not what we enjoy the most. So maybe I wouldn't have done that too much, wouldn't have put too much focus on that. But then again, I don't think we would have created the shows that we have now if we wouldn't have had that experience. So it's kind of a mixed feeling. There's moments that I think we should have taken a little bit more risk and we should have maybe gone for things faster. But then again, I think because of that, like, control we've wanted to keep, we've managed to create such a strong brand instead of just really, really fast and not knowing the direction. Yeah, it's more related to our personal experiences with traveling and with teaching abroad. I think it would have been good if we would have learned earlier on that it's more something to enjoy the weekends and not focus too much on the festivals as being a goal, because we've spent a lot of time first with comparing ourselves to the main artist on the stage and, you know, like, really trying to live up to the expectations of international performers. Whereas I think we found that our strengths lie within building a community and within building a scene and the personal connection we have with people, and that that is okay. So that we might have enjoyed the first experiences a lot more. So instead of thinking, oh, you know, we're never going to be as good as Gorky and Judit, like, now we've learned that different is okay and that we don't need to be just as good or just as technical or just as good artistic wise, but that our strengths lay in different parts. I think that would have put a lot less pressure on myself personally, and that I would have been able to enjoy our weekends abroad a lot more just by being more confident in what we can offer. And that it's something different, and that it's okay, and that we don't need to live up to the expectations of international artists and having millions of followers and having rooms with 500 people following your workshop, but that our strengths lie that even if it's just 40 people, that those 40 people we can really learn something and connect with, and that I personally get way more out of that.
Yeah, what you're saying is something that every dancer experiences, I guess. You know, it's such a competitive space and we compare each other all the time. How did you find out that your strength lies in building communities and a scene?
Well, for me, the most, like, the moment I really started to believe it myself is when we got the recognition from a lot of international artists that we really look up to. And that if I heard them talk about us or present us to other people, that I heard the way they were talking about us. And I was like, okay, wait, what? Is he talking about me? Like, why can I not look at myself in that way? You know, like, we always put ourselves so much more down, like, the ladder, that it was when we heard other people talk about us that we were like, okay, wait, if they see us that way, like, what do they see that we don't see? And we've had a lot of our international friends and artists here coming to teach at our dance school and been to our events and been to the festival. And like I said, it's people we look up to a lot within the dance scene. But then to see, what they see when they come in here, the things that for us were so normal and so like, that's just how we do it and that's just how it should be done. If you see it through the eyes of other people, then you're kind of like reminded of, oh, wait, okay, so maybe we're doing something that other people are not that good in, and maybe everyone has their own like insecurities, and maybe we should learn to appreciate that there's some things that we are exceptionally good at and manage to do good, as difficult as that was in the beginning to accept and say about yourself. But so, yeah, it's not something we found within or that one moment. No, it's mostly because of the recognition from other people that I started to think, okay, wait, if they see me in that way, then maybe I should start like being a little bit more positive towards what we've achieved so far.
Sounds good to me. Because yeah, so basically the people around you served as a kind of mirror to open up your eyes and kind of show that, yeah, people do generally push themselves down, unfortunately, and underestimate their skill sets when they're actually doing a really great job. And the hardest part, especially like Jan said, in the dancing industry, which is so competitive and so big, there's so many ways to go about it. And it, you know, people are scared maybe to put themselves out there because they are a little different, because of the judgment that might, you know, they might get, which they might always get. But then there's another group of people, as you said before, that will give you positive feedback. You can't please everybody in the end.
Yeah, so I hope everyone finds that, because I do believe that within the scene, it's a pity sometimes that it's always the same names and the same artists that you see, while there's so many really good teachers, performers out there that all have something different to offer. Might not be the complete package, but it's different aspects that can really complement each other. So I hope, yeah, I hope more people can find that confidence and not wanting to be a copy or not wanting to go in the same direction as everyone else has done so far.
All right. So Steffi, thank you so much for being on the podcast with us today. If people want to find out more about Bachata Passion, where can they do that?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It was great being on, and it's such a privilege to be on with you guys. If they want to find out more about Bachata Passion, they can find us on Instagram, Bachata_Passion, or on Facebook, Bachata Passion Dance Company, or our website, of course. And yeah, one of the things I'm working on personally is on our YouTube channel, Bachata Passion DC, is a vlog and video cast of like a little bit what we talked about today, just analyzing how we got to where we are. So if they want to know more about our story and our personal struggles and how we got here, they can follow me there as well.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me.
And have a beautiful day, I would say.
And that was it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening in. We hope you liked it. If you want to listen to more episodes, then please follow us on Instagram at backstage.podcasts. That's where we're going to post all updates about new episodes. Hope you liked it. Catch you in the next one. Peace.